Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up. This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary, a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. This is Jessie Mae. And this week, I actually have a person in front of me, Mr. Sam Tripoli.
Have you been just talking yourself?
Yeah.
Those are great for just trying to come up with new material.
It really is. And like also just, you know, realizing that you can be somewhat entertaining alone is kind of nice.
I just ramble.
I talk to myself when I'm home anyways. Don't you talk to yourself?
Yeah.
Do you ever have arguments in your head? And then,
dude,
I'm asking, who am I asking?
Dude, you should set up a little camera and film this.
I know. I got to set
it up. Put it up on YouTube, man.
I know. I should.
I think it's the easiest way to make. Dude, you have the nicest apartment. You need some Google cash to help pay this off. And you get it going, dude. Like, I can get up to like $2,000 a month just off of YouTube.
Shut up.
Yeah, just posting like videos, man. It's like unbelievable. I have a buddy of mine. I always sing his praises. Was a guy who's just like all of us trying to get shit going in LA. Saw his favorite band. The lead singer had a video and he was like, I'm going to watch it. The guy was talking about how he got 100,000 subscribers and was just posting, posting, posting. So my friend's like, I'm going to try it, dude. I'm going to try it. Now he gets paid to fly around the world. His fans pay for him to do it. And he just does like travel videos from around the world, makes good money off the internet and Patreon.
Who?
My friend Jordan Lee. It's Jordan the Lion. He just goes around the
he just world. Travels?
He just
in posts.
He started going through LA going, hey, I want to show you where Bruce Lee's dojo was downtown or whatever that is. And he started shooting it. And then and he's got all these loyal followers. And he started a little before me, about like 6 months before me. He's at 35,000 subscribers.
Jesus.
I'm at 33,000. And it's just like, it just starts going, dude. And you just put a little camera here with all your weird shit behind you. And you just fucking rant. And
I need to do that. Because, you know, I was thinking about, we were talking about ATC before. Because now I'm at ATC. Like, I might just do it here.
Why not?
Why go into the office if I don't have to?
I wouldn't. I mean, especially what you have to go through.
Fuck,
dude.
I mean, I got
to
go over the hill and through the mountains.
No, you have to literally go through the most congested driving in the country.
Yeah, in the country, all day, midnight, these people.
Listen, it's so simple.
They're in their phones, on their phones in traffic, and just, they're watching full movies because the traffic's literally going nowhere.
Look, you go to this. Look at that right
there.
It's just you could live stream it straight.
Yeah.
It's really easy. You put a little thumbnail.
That's what I need to do. Cooking,
and you got all. They now have all these tripods just for your iPhone.
Yeah.
You just set it up. You turn it so you can show you what you're. So you see how you. And it's
I'm going to do videos,
easy.
You guys. You're going to get videos.
I'm telling you, it's the easiest way to do it.
Why don't you? I really wish the other night, that fucking lineup, that thing should have been taped. That whole night. You had, like, the most amazing.
Bring it on the road. I'm like, okay, if you have, like, $150,000 to put all those people on the road, because, like, Rogan, Russell, they're all making.
You had Rogan, Russell Peters, Michael Rapaport.
Felipe Esparza.
Felipe Esparza.
Esparza Esperanto. What is he, a cowboy? And a Mexican fucking spaghetti Western? Felipe Esparza. Senor, this caravan is coming through. Let us in or pay with your
blood. Yo no puedo. Hey, todo está para Jesús, okay? Pero todo está para Jesús.
It's deep waters.
It's deep waters.
And it's fun. I used to do naughty shows, which was me with adult film stars. And then it was that comedy with some weird sketches and shit. And
you did it for years. Was it always at the store?
It started at the improv. And those were, like, as great as Comedy Chaos was, the early days of Nye Show were the greatest. Like, they were like a party inferno, dude. It was
who
like.
Who would you have on? Like, who do you remember you had on that you're like,
well,
holy
I'd have
fuck.
All these. Because I've been friends with these dudes forever.
I know you've been like, friends with everybody.
If you've seen who I got into the Comedy Store, it is a who's who.
Yeah.
I got in. Uh-huh. So they've always been my boys. I get people in, and it would be like Callan, Joe Rogan would do. Everybody would do it. This is even before Joe Rogan was. The Joe Rogan we know now. Yeah. He was still huge, but he wasn't.
He got chickens in his yard, and he goes bow hunting every Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like all these great guys. But then we did add adult film stars, crazy sketches, videos. It was like this
a variety multi-media. Show.
It was so. It was like a filthy variety show. It went years. It went years.
Why did it stop? Because why did it stop? Why did it evolve?
Because it did its job.
Yeah.
When I started it, it was like I couldn't do dirty jokes. So I was like, I need a place where I can be a dirty comic.
Yep.
And I go, I got to keep the people who complain about dirty away. So how can I do that? Oh, I'll put porn stars on this show.
Let's literally get dirty.
Yeah. And then they keep away. So I remember one time I got Belladonna to do the show. And she's like this legend of the adult films. And she's like, I do pole dance. I'd like to do pole dance. I'm like, okay, you can do whatever you want to, right? So she comes up. And she's like this famous porn star who had like this giant like gap between her teeth. And she's like.
I wouldn't know. I mean, I know Jenna Jameson. That's
fine. It's fine.
Yeah, and Ron listen, Jeremy,
when I
that
need
weasel.
Someone who doesn't know everything about porn, I go. I
get it.
I'm so like somebody said blow bang the other day, and this person's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, I wish I was you. But she does this pole dancing, right?
Yeah.
And now I know where she gets like this 10-inch black dong,
no,
right?
No.
And just
no.
goes,
no!
deep throats it and continues to pole dance. And the room just went silent. And everybody's just like, and then,
like me, right? I'm holding my head. I'm not even seeing it. Just you describing and then, it.
When she got done, the entire room exploded. Like, I was like, oh, that was like, there was a couple great moments. I also want to pitch this show. It was so hard to do, but it was such a funny ass thing. It was called Porn Star Fan Mail. And you can watch some of the videos on YouTube. I post them. And they were just like fake fan mail to adult film stars. But they were from like fans who like them for other reasons than what they did with porn.
Yeah, like porn was like the least.
It
They're
was like,
I
oh,
really
you tell
like
me
your,
to believe in myself
new-
and all this shit. And it was so funny. The reason it never went anywhere because right then all like the nerd shit hit. And then all,
alt.
You know, yeah, all the alt shit. And it just... It was an advanced old school comedy show, and it just
I wish I saw, you know, I was in New York and a comedian, I forget his freaking name, did a show kind not even close to that, but he had I remember he had strippers.
Yeah I mean like I didn't invent I mean stand-up comedy started in adult film in strip bars.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's a very American art. It's
it
like
is.
Jazz, we invented the form of stand-up. It started as like guys trying to do comedy in strip bars to bring up dancers. So that's where it started. And then it evolved to this thing. And, you know, it's like there's some amazing British acts, but, you know, you talk to everybody, they're way behind. Like, we're so, like, advanced. Like,
yeah, their comedy is very specific. British comedy is very, very – their style of comedy is very – it's very – in its own little space.
And there will
not
come
little,
somebody who will
space.
Push it.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Your Eddie Izzards.
You think about, like, Sam Kennison, like, why he blew up. Like, what he did then is what is in now.
Is he one of your favorites?
He's one of my favorites. I grew up on Richard Pryor. I grew up on Eddie Murphy. I remember my dad playing an Eddie Murphy CD and my mom crying. I don't want them to hear this language, you know? all the while I have all these porno mags I used to jack from 7-Elevens and I'd steal them. I'd use them as like collateral to pay off other people to beat up bullies who were fucking with me, right?
Oh, so you're already running a ring when you
already
were a kid.
Running a ring.
Already hustling.
Or I'd keep them and just you go see my bed. It looked pregnant. There were so many.
My bed probably is pregnant.
Yeah. So many porn magazines under my bed.
How the hell, like what? What made you so distrusting of the human race? Because you're into conspiracies now.
Well, it's like, I mean, I'm an if someone's like, dude, I'm a really big historian, a Civil War historian. No one's like, why are you crazy? It's just, it's fun to, I just enjoy trying to discover what may have really happened,
right,
and the patterns of it. And then when you start seeing your parents, like, oh, that totally makes sense. And then you see what's going on, and then what you know is going on, and it's just fun. I just love
the stuff you post is like my news. I'm like, oh god, what did the bushes
it,
do,
dude? It's so real.
King
it's
opiate? So, what do they call him? Is he like the king, or crack king?
Oh yeah, dude,
cocaine king.
He were, you know, him, Oliver North. They were CIA was working with Pablo Escobar, or Pablo Francisco, one or the other.
Who's playing Pablo Escobar in a movie coming out.
Probably.
In a world.
Yeah. In a world where cocaine was funneled by the CIA. But it's like this whole weird, like, if you look at, like, the whole drug thing, the people who basically made the
war on drugs.
It's basically the people who were importing the coke were the ones making the laws against coke, and then also owning the prisons in which you went to jail for coke.
Yeah.
So they were making a dollar off each transaction.
Yeah. Yep.
And when Pablo Escobar's son comes out and is like, yeah, my dad was a CIA asset, it totally makes sense. It's so, but I just love that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because, I mean, the reality is, how many Americans are actually going to take their time to look into.
Well, the truth is that they're trusting people.
And
we're
very trusting people.
Much,
sheep.
It's like I say, when you watch one of these prank shows, right? Like, you're just pranking trusting people.
Yeah, you're just really just, you're playing on people's trust.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I'm a kindergarten teacher. Oh, this baby's on the roof. He's driving off. Oh, my God, the baby. You're like, oh, we're just kidding. It's a fake baby. You've just shattered that woman's life, right? Because she's just a trusting, she's not like a dead on the inside scumbag entertainer who just wants to fucking get a laugh at somebody, right? I mean, you're just, it's just a trusting thing. And
we are very trusting.
And
we're very trusting,
like, they
community.
Play off. It. Yeah. It's all psyops, dude.
I know, but some of the stuff you post, I'm like, God, is this real? Like, what's been one of your favorite?
Well, my new thing is that political correctness is a psyop. That's all just.
What do you mean by psyop?
What it means is it's a psychological operation, meaning that it's being done to screw with people's brains, right? So when you do that, you do the road, right?
Yep.
You get politically incorrect. People, they mostly laugh as long as
they don't outrage.
Speech,
yeah.
So you mean
once in a while you get an angry woman.
Yeah. Okay. And she got the K+8 haircut that goes 8 different directions.
I want to speak to your manager.
Yeah.
And then on the flip, you always get. A freaky dude or a creepy dude or like a Bible pusher dude who's like, I didn't appreciate it.
You'll eventually get, I mean, like, if you have a room full of 300 people, right? You're going to have a whack job in
there.
And even if, like, when you remember when Amy Schumer was like, 200 people left my show and I started talking about Trump. Well, you're playing a room of 12,000 people.
Yeah. Why?
200 people.
Who gives a fuck about them?
Yeah. 200
people. You got their money.
Dude, if I don't leave, if one table doesn't leave, I feel like I'm losing my edge.
Yeah. If you haven't poked the bear enough for it to want to bite a little?
Yeah.
Then we're poking the bear the whole hour.
Life
poking the bear.
Isn't politically correct. Why should comedy? Why is comedy the only form that has to be politically correct?
No, we need some form. Yeah.
And so my whole thing is that political correctness is something put out by, just hear me out, the pharmaceutical companies. So we raise these kids a certain way. This guy named Dr. Spock, right? He puts out this book that says you shouldn't spank kids. You shouldn't do all this stuff with these kids. This is how you should listen to them, right?
So
you So you create this environment in which these kids are raised differently than their grandparents or grandparents, blah, blah, blah. So they go to college. You see that this SNL guy just got kicked off stage at Columbia because somebody in the crowd thought
that's sad. But something
didn't like his joke, so they shut him down. Well, what people don't realize is that these kids are being like set up for slaughter, and that they think this is a real place where everybody cares about their feelings, and they can get rid of alternative opinions. And that's not the real world. So they're gonna go to jail. They're gonna go to work, right? And they're gonna find out very quickly. Nobody cares what you think.
Yeah.
Either you're doing the job or you're not. Nobody likes a guy who's always bitching. And you're gonna. And what's happened is they're gonna fracture. Their psyche's gonna fracture.
Right.
And they're gonna spin out of control. And what are they gonna do? They're gonna go get on psych meds, which is the whole point of this whole thing, dude.
To keep us controlled. We're easier
to keep
controlled
us controlled.
And
keep
weak.
Us on, dude. The big pharmaceuticals are the most fucking gangster. Fucking drug cartels out there. Did you hear about this guy in Ohio that was fighting to lower prescription medication?
Yes.
They found him dead, suicide, by two fucking giant wax in the back of his head. That's how they said he killed himself. It's, dude,
who would kill themselves like that?
Nobody.
Who would bludgeon
It's called getting
themselves?
Suicide, dude. You know, and that's
who
what
would just like
it happens all the time.
Who would do that to themselves like that?
Somebody
that's
who's getting murdered.
That's
So how
do you sleep?
Because
do you sleep?
Because it's once you know that what's really going on and that my fellow man and my fellow woman aren't trying to kill each other, that this is all a rich men's trick. You should watch the doc. Everything's a rich men's trick. Once you realize that, it's like, oh, okay.
See, that's the one when you posted that. You were talking about rich men's trick on that post about the border.
Yeah.
And people fleeing. In your photo that you got from wherever, where'd you get that photo?
There's like
on the internet.
Because people send me everything.
Right. So
there's like three photo shoots going on.
In the background, you can see people literally just chilling, not giving a fuck about any border bullshit whatsoever, and photos being taken in opposite directions.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a now here's what you understand. I was telling you this the other day. Sometimes the sides all work together. Now, I really do believe there is something between our intelligence community and Donald Trump. But like when we take the Kavanaugh case, I was telling you, where it's like they created it as a what is his sexual history, and all the people on the right and all the people, you know, on the people on the left is like, believe all women, which I think you should. But then you had the left, the right going, you know, due process, which I think you should as well. So you have these people fighting over that and not over what this guy really represents, which is he helped write the Patriot Act. He's for warrantless fucking searches. He has no problem with the intelligence community going through all your shit and spying on you.
So what you're saying is the higher ups are creating drama,
framing stuff
to shift avert focus. To shift your focus from what the real problem is.
Yes. That's my whole
point. I mean,
point.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Because really, we're a headline reading, consuming culture right now.
Listen, they're
so
smart.
We don't look into stuff.
We just read the headline.
We're not even reading the sub headline.
Yeah. We read it and then we create our
own
story.
Fecal matter on lettuce.
Yeah.
We're like, we're shutting it all down. We didn't look where. We didn't look how isolated it was. We're like, no more shit on the lettuce.
Right.
All of it's got to take out spinach too.
Completely
gone,
and then you don't even look at maybe where we're getting our less. Who's coming? You know, who created the less? Is there an alternative reason to basically make those group of people's business crash?
I mean that, and imagine like when something that like that Kavanaugh. There's a Syracuse coming out. Kavanaugh.
We don't say our G's. We say walking. We don't say walking.
No.
We say, hey, I'm walking. I'm going to walk over there. I'm walking over there. You're walking over there? Or are you walking over there? I'm walking over there. I'm talking while you're talking. I'm talking.
That whole Kavanaugh drama. Imagine all the other stuff that slipped through the cracks adjacent from him.
Right.
Everything else that was just totally, you know, political.
That chick could have brought any kind of charges against him because it happened in Maryland. There's no time.
And tell me about her father. You said her father.
Her father was very high up in the CIA. He was in charge of funding black ops in the CIA, meaning he had to find money for these off the book operations that they don't. That's what they call black ops. So like shady shit that they're not going to let anybody that they're doing. He had to find funding for it. And then Stanford is a giant CIA hotbed. She was in charge of basically the CIA intern program there where you could join and like, hey, you want to be in the CIA? You join that. She was a big part of that. But here's the thing, man. They wipe shit off the internet. I am blown away.
Why do you say it? By what?
Because like I'll see something. I'll be like, oh, that's crazy, right? And then like 6 months later, I'll be like, oh, dude, I got to find that article. Can't find it anywhere. You Google the fuck out of it. Can't find
buried and gone.
Wiped out.
I mean, there's companies that specialize in and that's just SEO.
Yeah.
Right,
so
there's
all this crazy
ass
shit.
Taking your shirt and shoving it in the back of the closet. You'll never find it.
So, and we can talk about anything. We don't have to talk about conspiracy. I go on people's shows.
No, I know, but I love, it's such a big aspect of who you are.
So this guy who shot up the borderline, right? They show a picture of him in the, this is the guy that did it. That picture is exactly like the guy that they show who was the actual driver at Charlestonville, right? So they show this guy who was like this like brunette dude, dumpy dude, who's like supposed to be like the guy who was driving.
Dumpy dude.
Right? He's the guy that drove into everybody. But then when they go, when you actually look close at the picture, it doesn't look like him. And they put this other photo up of who it looks more like, and they're the same picture. So I can't find any articles that were showing that. And I'm like looking and looking and looking and looking. It's all psyops, dude.
You were saying that to me in the green room. You just come into the green room of the Comedy Store. Bro, it's all psyops. It's everything.
All psyops. And then you realize that your fellow man and woman don't want to do anything bad. You've been around the world. Everybody just wants a drink, laugh at a fart joke, get their dick wet, and fucking take a nap. And that's all they want.
Every culture.
Yeah.
I went to Beirut, and I remember telling people that I was going to do gigs in Beirut, Lebanon, and they were like, oh, no. There's war going on over there. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, yeah, there is war. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I couldn't even point it out on a map at that point.
Right.
And I get there, and they're the most warm, loving, beautiful culture, intelligent, worldly. They love American culture, celebrating. Everyone's getting along, drinking, and having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And like.
You ever been to China?
No.
You want to go to China?
That's where everything in this place is made from.
I can get you gigs in China.
I want to
go. There, you're like, where's all this crazy oppression and all this shit? You're like, it's not that bad. And I get it that they have a very controlling. See, it's very interesting. Like, Americans think, like, we're the freest country in the world. And then you go to a place like China, you're like, ah.
Yeah.
The only thing you can't do is really, you can't, like, I know they got this crippling. And I'm not saying China's, like, the greatest place. I'm just saying we demonize them.
We demonize
and then you
all
go
cultures.
There and you're like, it's not that bad. Uh-huh. Like, this omnipresence government that I'm hearing about, I don't see. Now they tell you. Don't criticize the government and don't do that. But anything else goes. Dude, every night there is New Year's Eve at that fucking place.
Yeah, I've heard the same about Japan, too.
They drink like there's, it's like tomorrow's New Year's. Every day is New Year's.
I think they have a very high suicide rate.
In China?
Japan does for sure.
Oh, of course, because there's a lot of pressure, too. And like I said, it's like you got this guy, Tim Cook, from Apple talking about how it's like we have the right to get rid of people who say mean things on the internet. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, he's like, we can just wipe them off the internet.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
but you like you have sweatshops that have like these fucking nets where people jump.
Their knuckles are bleeding. Yeah. There's nets where they don't murder themselves.
Yeah. So
because of the conditions.
Yeah.
You have 4-year-olds making footwear. And I'm not, look, I'm all about, like, teaching your child to work.
Yeah.
And, like.
I'm all about learning discipline.
Yes.
And having a go-get attitude.
But I feel like clean air, food, and a lot of breaks are also vital.
But here's the thing about China, which is very interesting. They put in, like, 28 subway systems in, like, 5 or 6 years because they didn't have to ask for anybody's approval. They just did it,
yeah.
Right? So now you got all these people fighting with each other. We can't even
red
put
tape.
It. Yeah, it's like crazy.
We have
like
all this crazy. Red tape for people to make money.
But they're also cleaning up their environment a lot.
Yeah.
Like they're very much like, okay, we got to clean up our environment. They do a lot of good things too. China's not perfect. And they have this new social score thing where it's like if you score bad, you can't go on flights and all that shit. That's scary.
Okay, that sounds like Black Mirror shit.
Yeah, it is Black Mirror shit. It's like if you have the wrong score, you're like, you can't
what
get on
score
trains.
Of what? Like, based off of what?
Your social media.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
In China?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They analyze your social media, and if they deem what you're saying is too negative, too mean, too whatever, they can make it so you can't take flights anywhere. You can't take the train anywhere. It's crazy.
That's really fucking creepy.
That is creepy.
Who told you? You saw
but
that?
You know, yeah. It's everywhere.
In China. Yo.
But make no doubts about it, they will try to do that here. And that's why you got to fight. You just got
to
fight
well,
back.
People have to start thinking for themselves, but then you're asking someone to
can I show you the best
effort.
Picture I've ever seen about Western culture.
Is it a butthole?
No, I will never do that to you. I'm gonna show you this one picture. This to me is the greatest picture of like what's going on in the world versus like American culture. So this is France during their riots. They're having riots right now. And look at that picture.
Whoa. And so it's a dude in the street.
With tear gas all
over the place. Tear gas all over the place, but she's laughing.
And she's like FaceTiming somebody laughing as like this giant like fucking civil wars going on.
Look in the background. There's all these like masked people on the street.
Dude, do you know what's going on in France right now?
No.
It's a giant like civil war. Like there's a revolt against the government right now.
What are they revolting against? Well, what do they want? Better globalism, baguettes?
Globalism, which is like I love that story. Which we're all like, oh, no borders, blah blah blah. I'm like, I'm not a nationalist, but you know,
they want no borders.
Yeah, like anybody can go anywhere, which throws out all the rights. Like there's this whole thing where they're. Do you know that technically? George Bush Jr. signed something that made Canada, the United States, and Mexico all one country. That technically, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution is null and void technically because he signed into this thing in the fucking quiet of the night that we are all one country.
I mean, I feel like getting into Mexico's might be the easiest thing ever, and so it's literally just a lane for
it's
the
like
world.
Trying to get on a ride at like you Walt Disneyland.
Come on in,
yeah.
Come right up, bring everybody. We'll take for sure. Your rapists, your thieves,
yeah, anything.
Your child, you know.
I don't know what's going on with the left. Like it's like this.
There is extreme liberalism. There's extreme radical Republicanism.
And they're touching dicks, right?
Yeah, they are. Just, and they're
the neoclons
both.
And neoliberals
they're
are just talking
bad.
Yeah. Listen, you want to know what's wrong with the country? I'm telling you this. Trust fund kids. Trust fund kids are fucking ruining everything.
Yeah. Well, they're running everything and they're ruining it.
Dude, the last Emmys was like, hey, here's an award for a trust fund kid. And the winner of this, and the trust fund kid who wins best actor in a sitcom. I was like, they're all trust fund kids.
And those are kids who have never had to struggle. And they don't know anything about. They've never even been in another country besides like a place where they can vacation and be on a beach.
They all have blue checks by their names, and they're all like, "Guns are bad." And you're like, "Well, your father made like so much money in like fucking selling arms. What the fuck you?" And that's what they never tell you. You know, it's so interesting. I don't want it to be all conspiracy. I can talk.
Look,
we'll talk 607-315 till we die.
Do you know anything about upstate New York?
Dude, I'm from there.
What do you know?
I lived there for 18 years.
What state?
What?
Well, I mean, what city?
Courtland.
Oh, that's right. We're so close.
Outside of, yeah,
yo,
dude.
Courtland apples. You got apples.
Yeah.
You got Courtland a college, apples. Questionable yeah. college.
Courtland State.
Actually, no, Courtland's a great school.
Yeah, Courtland State's, it's like if you're a lesbian who wants to get in the PE,
yeah.
go to Courtland State.
Isn't Cornell there, too?
Cornell's in Ithaca. And
oh, that's right. They're right down the road.
Something jug. Where like Ithaca College and Courtland State go at each other,
like the lesbians go at each other. The juggernauts.
Yeah, dude, there's super lesbians there.
Yeah, you had any lesbian friends?
I have tons of lesbians. I have friends. I have trans friends.
When did you leave Courtland?
1991.
Why?
To go to college.
Where the hell did you go?
UNLV. Go fight win.
Vegas. Fuck you, college in Vegas.
It was great.
That is ridiculous. What the fuck? What do you even study?
I don't remember studying anything.
Yeah, exactly. How to not be hungover?
So I was class clown in college.
And shocker. Like,
I barely had a girlfriend in high school, man, because funny wasn't sexy.
Funny
in high
does
school.
Not, yeah.
Then you go to college, it flips the script,
oh, yeah.
And it is on. And I just, it was crazy. So there was no... There was no comedy scene in Vegas. Doug Stanhope had just left. He was like the scene.
Mid-90s?
Early 90s. There was three comedy clubs. They wouldn't play locals. They would just bring in guys from L.A. to open feature for the and headline, which now they just use all locals to open and feature. We never got that.
Right.
We never got that. So I had to start my own comedy scene. So I started doing comedy shows every night. I go find a bar where there's no, where I'm like, what's your worst night? They're like, blah, blah, blah. I go, give it to me. So we just do, and we would go anywhere. We'd be in the middle of bands. Like bands would just like shred. And then
comedy and music go together so well.
So bad.
So bad. So why do people continue to try and do it?
When we're kids, we go through these traumas, right? But what we don't realize is later on, those traumas become our strengths.
Yes.
Right? So when I was a kid, me and my friends, we stopped fighting all the time. We would just verbally destroy each other. So I got hardened, okay?
Right.
I got real hard. And then I went to college, and I joined a fraternity, and I would just fucking
fraternity?
Lie people. I was ATO, dude. Alpha Tau Omega.
I can't picture you. No, I cannot picture you in a fraternity.
I had long hair.
Whoa.
Alpha Tau Omega. I didn't, you know, and it was the best time of my life.
Alpha Tau, what?
So I talk about this on stage. Like we would have right then, like, crystal meth was really hitting, dude. It was like
the band or the actual drug?
The drug.
Okay.
The drug was hitting. And it was like, I want to find this picture for you. So it was hitting, and like I saw a couple of my friends go a little crazy, but I really didn't understand what it was to that point. So my
I never, by the way, tried jack shit. Only,
well, if you do coke in LA, but you'll eventually do a line of speed. So I was like, oh, I guess it's speed. You're like, 3 days later, fuck you, Pornhub. Why do you keep logging me out? You know, so you just get to that weird moment. But I'm trying to find this picture.
Is it a picture of you as Jesus? I can't put you in hair.
If I can't find it right now, I will show you later. But
and you just put on, you still have that hustle of just putting, you know, you're the type that's like, if there's not something, I'll make it.
I learned very early that suits are businessmen. They're just gamblers. And they gamble. We are horses.
Yep.
And they bet on horses.
Yep.
They're like, this horse is going to, now they rig the fucking race so that their horse wins, and that's perfectly fine. I learned very early, I am nobody's betting on this horse, okay? This horse is got to run his own race. So I learned that very early. But anyways, so I joined this fraternity. Crystal meth is just starting to hit. I've seen a couple people kind of lose their scruples on it. One guy, I'm not going to say what his name is, but I'm pretty sure he's on crystal meth, but we didn't really realize that. So we're living in this fraternity house, which is condemned. It's condemned.
God, so gross. I feel like all fraternity houses are condemned.
Oh, yeah. They're just like, bros are gross. Bats, right? They're just like, guys drink, fuck, call it
just a crime scene.
Yeah, it is.
It's a forensic DNA. Scientist dreamland. Yeah.
This is alien DNA. Where did this come from? So I
Toby's
get,
room.
So we live in a desert, but for some reason the roof is leaking. We don't know why.
That's from the jizz of your neighbor.
The jizz of Christmas Pass is just fucking falling down, right?
Found the show title.
So, jizz of Christmas Pass. So we're like, dude, we gotta fix this roof. The guy's like, yeah, dude, I can fix it. We're like, do you know how to do it? He's like, yeah, dude, I got tools. So, this guy came. Ripped my roof off. We never saw him again. He just ripped the roof off. He never fixed the roof. I lived in a convertible house for months because there was no fucking roof. That was what I got.
My face was. Did he want to come over to fix it?
No! That's what I'm saying.
What'd you do? So what'd you do?
We all had to move out because our house was no longer. We
what
lived
about
in
the school?
It was a house.
What about
was,
the school?
What about the school?
Everyone's just zooted out. Everyone's just drunk and high. They're like,
dude,
bro.
Dude, everybody. It was just garbage.
Did you learn anything? Like, what would you major in?
I you know, it's so funny. So I only went to college because my dad, my mom wanted me to. I say something. I always wanted to be a comedian.
What was the University of UNLV?
Yeah, UNLV. Yeah. My dad convinced me to go to Vegas because he wanted me. He just wanted to buy a house so he could have a tax write-off to fly to Vegas and gamble all the time.
Oh, he's just using you as your little gambling decoy.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I didn't fall for it.
Not this girl.
And then Jerry Tarkanian was the coach of the UNLV basketball team. He's Armenian. I'm Armenian. So I'm like, I want to go there. There's a big Armenian. So I showed up, and so I thought it'd be a good place to start stand-up. It was and it wasn't because there was no scene. But it was great because, you know, I could create a scene and this I could be
and
me.
And you can create whatever you want it to be since they're not already trained as to what to expect. And also it still was an entertainment capital. I mean, Vegas, especially in the 90s,
there's
still
so many
booming.
Comedy clubs there now, and
there's just so much more entertainment there. Vegas is an interesting place. Like, I was there, I filmed a pilot, and I did a show at Laugh Factory, and just driving outside off the strip, it feels like a third world country.
Well, I mean, there's parts that
dude, there's
it is
parts
like,
that are like, are we
but
in
you go
Tijuana?
Green Valley, Somerville,
yeah, well, when you get out where the money is, beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
But there's definitely a hard line between
there's
the glitz
no
and glamour.
Harder homeless person than a desert homeless person.
Especially you one look, in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas?
They're like built for the apocalypse.
It is like
Phoenix
talking
homeless?
Beef jerky, dude. They look like
I'm right
beef
here.
Jerky.
I am right here.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be me in the future, just talking beef jerky.
Just fucking. Just.
Side note to all you girls out there who are tanning naked on the regular. You are literally gonna make your pussy lips look like beef jerky.
Well, what about
put some
Ariana
SPF.
Grande? Did you see that picture somebody put out, like her before, her now?
Speaking of pussy lips, what? Yeah. What? What'd she do? Her face changed?
No, she's like tan mom. She's like tanned so much.
Yeah, I don't. Ariana Grande, she's an enigma. She's an alien.
She's deep into it, dude. She's deep, dude. When you're into that Mickey Mouse Club, which should be just called the Luciferians, dude. Sounds like a bowling team. When you're into that, dude, that's dark art shit.
I'm trying to keep track of all these things that you're saying. Dark arts. Oh, my God. There is. I mean, there's so much going on that we don't know about. Disney is so demented.
Yeah, I mean, Disney started
out,
it to be, he made Mickey Mouse to be Nazi propaganda. He was going to give Mickey Mouse to the Nazis to use as propaganda.
As like shit to put on t-shirts?
Yeah, like, hey, be a Nazi. Hey, guys! You know, there was going to be a Mickey Mouse with a fucking thing, throwing up some salutes. Hi, guys! Fuck Goofy!
Shut up. Where is it? Where's your source?
They're all there. It's
have you seen the boners in the movies? There's boners in the cartoons.
Well, it's all that stuff, dude. You
it's
get into
really
that.
There.
Like, don't even get me started on, like,
don't
I love
even.
Adult Swim, but you watch that shit, you're like, oh, don't even get
what?
Me. Oh, it's so,
what? An Adult
I can
Swim.
Tell you stuff off the air because it's
you
want to
work in this
name.
Town? Yeah.
No, dude, I don't care about that. Do you think I care? I go up there. I'm racking black people on stage, gay people. Do you think I care? Like, the notion that I have to celebrate this diverse culture and I can't talk about them. Oh, black, that's racist. You make fun of black people. Have you watched World Star Hip Hop? It is fucking a laugh track of comedy. Shut the fuck up. Everybody does something funny. To listen to what I'm saying, it's not hate speech. I got this bit about black zombies, right? And how you can't, like,
where are they? I feel like they're made in Florida.
Like, black, yeah, the guy from Florida smoked basalt, ate his
yeah.
I like, dude,
eight
you,
faces.
Who wants zombies that run 4.3 40s? Nobody, right? You have no chance against a black zombie, none, except for get to the crosswalk, right? Because you know it's gonna take forever for them to cross the street. That's a great bit. That's no different than Cedric the Entertainer's bit about white people running towards whenever they hear fucking. It's a joke, man. It's.
I love that bit. I love that Cedric the Entertainer bit. He's like, what seems to be the
right? It's in the same thing. It's the so same funny. Thing. And he's funny as fuck.
Well, he's so funny. But the also the bit he has about turning the music down to parallel parts. Parallel Park is spaceship in outer space.
See, that's what I need to. I'm working on little. Like, I need to do a little bit more relatable shit, but I'm so worried about being hacky.
Dude, don't. You of all people, you don't need to. Just do what you want to do.
I know, but I just feel like I got to do a couple things.
But why would you want to do relatable stuff to be relatable?
Just to have them. Like, it's my theory that you can't challenge people for 60 minutes. You got to give them a point where they're like, Okay, next joke. And then you're like, boom, boom, boom. Like,
well,
you
for sure, because you're definitely like, you have an energy.
Oh, yeah. I'm a cult leader up there. I'm like, drink my Kool-Aid. It's time to drink the Kool-Aid, children. And I just, wah, ha, ha, ha. I'm Jim Jones on stage. You're all at my.
And everybody's just in the crowd. They're all dead. They've all been dead. You've murdered them with your conspiracy.
I love it, dude. But then they come for conspiracies. And, dude, here's the weird thing about conspiracies. Everybody
my face hurts.
Thinks, like, conspiracy people are, like, live in their mom's basement, okay? They live in their mom's basement.
You can take it out of
that.
Pull it out of the arm.
No, I'm doing it like this. This is me, dude. This is my broken mic. You ever get broken mic? You're like, fuck it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live and just keep going, right?
You rip the mic right out of the arm.
Are you eating fucking Rice Krispies?
No, they're pine nuts.
Oh, okay.
They're really good for you.
So I do. So You'd be amazed. Like, everyone, you think, like, all the memes are, like, dudes with too much back hair, with fucking a weird, like, tinfoil hat on, with glasses that are, like, this thick, right?
Yeah.
It's not, dude, you would be amazed at how many insanely hot women are, I'm blown away all the time. I'm like, what are you doing here? It's like, I love your podcast. I'm like, you listen to the conspiracy podcast.
But women, are you kidding me? All it is gossip.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I like that.
Conspiracies are just gossip.
Oh, you're totally right. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, women are chicken heads. Like, we love, bah, 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 and then Stacey, bah, 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 and Tina, bah, 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 and then Alicia. Bah, 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 bah. Like, we just, kick, 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 beep, beep, beep. We're chickens.
Yeah.
We love that shit. I we love astrology and gossip.
I never across the board. About that.
You know, everybody does. I bet you Hillary loves
people
it too.
People pulling shit behind. Yeah. Oh, you know what they're doing? But you know what the lizard people are doing?
Listen, do you know what the cyborgs? What are psyops?
The psyops?
Realness.
I love that. That's so true.
Yeah, women, we love to chat. Like, I think it goes back, like, evolutionary. Like, back, you guys were out hunting.
Yep.
You're out. Gone. We were there picking
sit
berries.
Fucking
we were making
talking.
Salad and breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So we're like, bam, bam, bam. Well, today, you know,
yeah.
Sitting bear really gave me the eyes. I just like, e-ne-ne-ne-ne.
I love that, dude. Sitting bear's getting all up in there. Yeah. He wants all up in this.
And then, anyways, well, these berries are really good. Are these organic? Of course they are. There's no grocery stores.
I love that. I love that.
That's why, though.
I love it.
Women, we're chicken heads.
Yeah. Burr, 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 burr. What does chicken head mean?
I don't know. I'm just like chatty bitches.
Oh, chicken head.
Let's look it up. There's definitely someone.
But
Urban
isn't
Dictionary.
That like if you call somebody a chicken head, they want to fight you?
I mean, let's see what Urban
what, you
Dictionary
fucking chicken
says.
Chicken head?
I call women chicken heads because of how we sound when we talk, but there's probably some other, like, maybe it's a stripper, some sort of like.
Someone said if you call a black person chicken head.
Derogatory American English slang. That can refer to someone who either performs fellatio for everybody or a dumb female. The term is used to describe the motion of the body, similar to the bobbing of the head.
Oh, like this?
Yeah. And we look the same when we're gossiping. So either we're sucking like dick that. Or we're talking shit. Same difference. Yeah.
By the way, it's so funny, man. When I started doing comedy, I was like, I just want to talk about what I want to talk about.
Talk about what you want to talk about.
Right?
Even
but,
now.
But when I started... When I started,
you were just like,
I thought your dog was, did somebody whistle? Everybody wanted to be Jerry Seinfeld. So it was like observational clean shit. And I was like, I'm a scumbag. I'm going to talk about my scumbag. I'm a Scorpio, Armenian, Italian.
Lizard person.
Yeah. I was sexually active. Way early. I've always been like on the wild side. My mom, I always say it's like, people are always like, dude, how come you turned, they meet my mom, they're like,
it's
how come
sweet.
You turned out like this? Like, look
she's
at your
so
mother.
Sweet.
She's so what? I'm like, my mom fucked a thug from Niagara Falls, Pine Avenue, and had two knucklehead kids.
Yeah, she liked that thug.
Yeah, the girls all like
attract.
The thug. They love the thug.
Mm-hmm.
Thug's
love,
dangerous.
Well, girls love certain times of your life, you love a thug. All women will love a thug, but only in certain times of your life because it's a project and a project manager, and women love managing projects.
Yes.
Women love it.
I have this joke that guys laugh, women just fucking hit the brakes, and I'm done. I have two jokes that if I say it, it will ruin my set. One is how I like to be called the N-word in bed. That's a true story. I was banging this Mexican. She dropped a hard NR on me, and I was hooked on it since. And you try, the funniest thing is when you ask a chick to say that to you, you're like, hey, do you mind? And like, you find out real quick how long this relationship's going to last. So,
oh, God.
You know?
My listeners are going to, this is a breath of fresh air for everybody. I've been talking about my dead dad, so they needed this.
No, I get it. And you've been through so much. And I get it. And I feel bad. So that, and I do a joke about how girls always want bad boys. And they always, because they think they could change them. And the joke is, and
them.
I never get girls to laugh at this. Like, bad boys make bad boyfriends, make bad husbands, make bad fathers. And the only thing you're going to end up changing is the diaper of the kid you're raising by yourself. And dude.
That's great.
Nobody laughs.
Because it's too real.
It's so real.
In the room, they're with the dude.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And they're just like,
Yeah. People have, you know what people have a hard time with? Accountability and self-awareness. Yeah, get in the pine nuts.
Well, people just don't, people think stand-up is meant to be just patty cakes.
Right, or that it's meant to be agreeable to what they think is an acceptable form of joking.
And I do think that that is one of the negative. Like, Michael Jordan was the greatest player of ever, right?
We piece of shit.
Right? But, like, his style of play made basketball selfish.
Right.
Team basketball went out the door. It became everybody.
And they became celebrities at that point.
Right, right. And don't that's you think so? Why I think Seinfeld did. As great as Seinfeld was, and he was great, he made it so everybody thought you had to be super relatable, super observational, super clean. And that, to me, is not the greats. The greats, when you talk about the greats.
Stanhope.
They're just like, Hicks. Like, yeah, Hicks. Like,
even Tig Notaro, like that emotional availability, that vulnerability style, like that. That's those are people who are amazing.
You
at comedy.
Have to be honest on stage.
Yeah, you have to. You have to speak from a place of truth. Yeah. Aren't these pine nuts good?
They're so good.
I'm sorry that we're munching, guys, but these pine nuts. Hey, we can turn into an ASMR. What is that?
Good.
Autonomous sensory median.
What is
response?
That?
It's something that people feel when they hear, you have noises in your ear and it's like the sound of crunching, just like really high volume, like high, I don't know how to say it, like just very quality noise in your ear of people like making noises.
Do you know that the radio puts out a frequency that gets you depressed?
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk into traffic. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what? You know, marijuana puts out a frequency that makes you not depressed.
I'm with you, dude.
So the way to combat that is with what? Where did you read that, Sam? How do you sleep at night?
I because it's just like it's.
You're like the conspiracy theory. You're like Adam ruins everything, but for conspiracy.
I love it. Listen, I don't do anything. I used to do a lot. I used to party a lot.
You're sobes.
Yeah. No, except for shrooms. Shrooms is the only thing I would do.
But you still do shrooms?
Yeah, when here and there, dude.
Microdose or like full out trip? What, and what's that like for you being sober? Like, how are you able to isolate that from everything
else?
It
has really helped me. It really helped me with my career. Like, I remember about this time last year, I went and I shroomed, and it really let me come to grips with where I am in my life and my career because, you know, my friends are all the Mount Rushmore of comedy, you know, like so I'm surrounded by these like greats of the greats where you are debating where they are in the greats of all time, you know, and that can get really heady on you. You can get really sad because you're like, why not me? And
right.
You know, then you look back, it's probably because you were partying too much. But the point is like, you just, it can weigh on you. And then I did these shrooms and just, it supposedly realigns your brain. And at the end of the day, I just kind of got to the point where I was just like, I'm right where I need to be.
After the shroom experience.
Yeah. During the shroom experience.
Wow.
I was just like, I'm exactly where I need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Right, right, right. So like I shoot the special, I get somewhat sad because, you know, you see these Netflix specials and God bless them, they got a Netflix special, but you're like, mine gets as good as that. Why can't mine get on there? And then you're like, it's not meant to be. It's meant to be you put it out on your own and you do you. You don't have any notes like, oh, we don't like this joke. And I do believe that people putting out their own specials will become the new podcast.
Where
people
100%.
Are just going to be like, once I get to the point where it is shiny enough, and that's all it needs to be is shiny. Once it's shiny enough, you're going to be like, I'm just going to put it out my own.
Yeah.
You get enough. Because you see people do this all the time. There's like bands shoot their own videos.
Always.
Just put it out.
Just
get people to come see
them. Just put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's like the one thing, the beautiful part, and that's what I'm going to do next year. For sure. Just shoot. We've been talking about that. Like, I'm just going to shoot it myself.
Shoot it, dude.
Because I've been, you know, the reality is you have to take everything in the control in your hands. Your career, you have to take into your hands and do it the way you want to do it. And stop waiting around for some perfect package.
Pitching it to people that don't comedy.
Yeah, pitching it to people who don't know you and your style.
Listen.
Who don't understand what you're trying to say. How are they going to shoot that?
Yeah.
How can you trust someone?
And we're like, we don't like that. You're like, well, it's not about what you don't
like. The lighting. Fuck the frame and the lighting.
Oh, that's not nice enough. I go, where am I at in my career? I'm a rock club guy. I'm a small rock club guy. Mm-hmm. Rock club. I like playing them. Where did I find? Viper Room.
Yep.
It was perfect. It had everything. Had the name recognition, name cachet.
Cool.
You can go anywhere, go Viper Room. And then it was small enough. I had to put 120 people in each show.
That's
I ended up doing 150 each show.
That's easy, perfect. Peasy. It's such a good sound. Like, oh. Oh, and like the other 400 thing.
400 people a show? I don't even know like, that many people.
In a theater that's huge when that's not your status quo. Why would, that's what the one thing I don't understand with specials, like why the thing that you're presenting doesn't represent what you've been working on. I get that it's an amalgamation of the work, the stand-up, the jokes, but as far as the look, have you been doing 500, 600,000 seat theaters the whole year?
You should do what you're doing.
Yes, you should do exactly what you're doing, because only that, in my opinion, and yours obviously as well, that represents what you're art is. That represents where you're at.
A long time ago, Bon Jovi did a video where it made it seem like he was an arena comic. But Bon Jovi was on his way to being an arena comic.
Right.
Like, there are people I know, when I watch them, I'm like, oh, they're going to blow up.
Right.
I could tell that.
Yeah.
So if they do that, that might make a little... But I still think, at the end of the day, it is, what jokes do you have? Are they good?
Yep.
You could be like
you
the
could
most
be on
amazing.
The, on top of Mount Rushmore.
I could be doing the Titanic before it went down, crushing.
Yeah, the reason it went down.
Yeah. Dude, I was worried about, man, I don't want a bomb at the fucking, at the Viper Room. Two people would have died there. You know what I'm saying? Like it would
yeah, be. Seriously. What did you call your special?
I broke it. Listen, I went Kill Bill with it, where there's Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill 2.
Love it.
Because if you watch those movies, they have two different vibes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just two different vibes. So I went Zero Fucks is the first one.
Right.
And then the second one is Armageddon, because that's what they call Armenians out here, Armo. So it's Armageddon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like, boom, boom. You go on Venmo or Vimeo. And it's a $2.99 to own the first
$2.99?
Or rent it for $1.99, which means you can get both for $4 to rent and watch.
Dude.
Yeah. I just know it's so hard. People are like fighting for a dollar to make a dollar. That if I go $5, they're going to be like, eh. You go $5, people are like, eh. But people go $2?
Yeah.
$3?
I know. But, it's true.
And you just, like, I haven't really, like, your podcast, you know, I'm starting to do a lot more. I just haven't really been, I now am starting to do all the podcasts. And that's all you got to do. And, like, people go, they're like, $1.99?
That's so cheap.
It's cheap.
It's so worth it.
Right?
It
you
really
get like
is.
A high and like this thing.
Yeah.
And it's always been the dream.
Did you have Dana shoot it?
Yeah, Dana shot it. I mean, dude, it's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. She's very talented.
Dude.
She's worked on so many different styles of stuff.
She got called to do Slayer at the Forum. So she goes, does Slayer. Shoots that. Next day they go, hey, it's Neil Diamond. We're doing the Forum. Can you do it? She did Slayer and Neil Diamond in 1 week at the Forum.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah. By the way, amazing.
Is he live?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. Did you take your panties off?
Yeah. And I.
My mom loves Neil Diamond. I remember the first time I stole her car was when she left to go to a Neil Diamond concert.
What?
Yeah. I stole her car and my friend Amy, I let her hop in the driver's seat as well. And I remember her kicking it into neutral and gunning it. And we didn't go anywhere. And I thought we broke the car. I'm like, yo, we broke the car. My mom's going to come home from Neil Diamond. We got to push this thing down the street.
That's
like,
so,
we
pushed it down
we
the
pushed
street.
It. And then I was like, wait, let me try something different. I didn't want to drive. I was like 12.
Hold on. You were stealing cars at 12?
Yeah. It was my mom's car, though. So it's not like somebody else's car.
That's
I took it for
so
a ride.
Funny.
I love driving. Like I.
Would you ever leave your house without your keys? Did your mom just leave her keys behind?
Yeah, I don't. It was like. It was the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah,
people
yeah.
were doing crazy shit.
Yeah,
nobody had cell phones. How are they surviving?
I don't even know.
Yeah, no, she left her keys.
People will never know what it's like to have to find fucking directions from the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
You're like, I think that is Capricorn. Okay, we have filed Capricorn into Virgo.
There's a waning moon. What does that mean? I don't know. Just keep going.
We're lost.
Then MapQuest, you had to print out fucking MapQuest.
What
a nightmare.
And then you like, fuck it. MapQuest was a nightmare? You'd have to go with a fucking map of like this thick. And you'd have to like, what's that street? You got to turn down this street.
It's not even a street
yet. Fuck, that was it.
It's just a camel's path.
You just don't even know. And you have to read their things.
The thing, like, you don't appreciate it until it's gone. Like, now, like, you know.
Well, dude, these kids haven't made, and that's why I
don't
laugh
they
when
they
get
that about
angry.
Us, though?
Who?
People said that about us.
We haven't made?
Yeah, we had it made when we were kids.
We did, dude. I think it was, I mean, everybody says that. I got the last, the best time. I really do, like, think. Like,
the analog babies had it made.
Made.
Dude. just to have the point of, you know, just some sort of perspective pre-computer era, pre-cell phone era, out in the streets getting dirty.
Talking to people.
Talking to people and not hating it.
You didn't have to get 90 million things done at one time because people could just email you. You're like, hey, dude, update your website. Book this fucking gig. Pay off this fucking person. Put out this podcast. Yeah. And like, dude.
Where did mental illness come from?
Yeah. Well, they say you're in social media. Dude. Don't follow anyone who doesn't make you feel better about yourself.
Seriously. And if you look at a page and you are like, oh, I hate the way my belly looks, delete.
Yeah.
Delete, unfollow.
Delete. Just be healthy, but be happy with who you are. Here's the whole thing I've learned. See, you know, political correctness goes against everything I ever learned in recovery. Like, I've learned so much from recovery that's really helped me, like, unprogram my skull. Like, the biggest thing was, is like, nobody's thinking about me. Like, I used to be convinced this was like this black shadow group of people. These shadow people were trying to like hold me back and like, I'm so great and they just don't want me. And it's like, no, dude.
The shadow people.
random people that were just out the side. It's like, no,
so, like,
dude.
Like the rest of your Armenian family just in the closet or something?
Yeah.
Just waiting.
People like, oh, he's so good. We have to stop him. He's so good.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, because you're trying to explain why
you feeling
why what you want isn't happening.
Right.
And it can't be you.
Right.
So it has to be somebody else.
Create.
And that's all I see in political correctness is like blaming other people for your problems.
Yep.
Okay.
And not having any sort of self introspective, you know, just like looking in and finding out what's wrong with you. Some sort of self awareness.
You just hear people like just blame it all. I would love to have an excuse to be able to blame everything on somebody else. But
so many people do that. They victimize themselves. And and the reason why they're not evolving or attaining any sort of success is somebody else.
And social media is the next thing I learned is don't judge your insides by somebody else's outsides.
Ooh.
Which is huge.
Ooh.
I can't tell you how many people I know that have, I'm air quoting right now for you at home, air quotes, how many people have fucking made it and are miserable.
Yeah. And, you know, the perspective is askew because they are comparing themselves to people who are just the same as them.
Will drive you nuts.
Yeah, it's in social media does that. Like, imagine forming as a girl or a boy and trying just to have some self-worth and confidence, and you're constantly comparing to other people.
Dude, this is the hardest time. This is the greatest time to be an entertainer and the hardest time. Because Frank Sinatra didn't have to deal with internet trolls, right? He's like, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, dumb, worst song ever. Why is this guy singing this old fucking Italian bag of dicks? Why is he singing? Like, he never had to deal with any of that.
I know.
Like, we have to, like, dude, we put something out and it's like this whole instant feedback and there's so much anonymous trolling. I guess get rid of people. Like, there's this whole, like, Ari's just like, oh, no. I mean, that's Ari. And Ari does Ari. And he even admits he's a troll. So trolls love trolls.
Yeah. Ari is total troll.
I'm like, hey, dude, guess what? You don't get the comment anymore. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, take away their power.
And then they'll be like, Sam erased comments. Damn right I do. Dude, I'm putting this out for free.
I shut it all down. Anytime I see some negativity, any bit, bye.
Bye-bye.
Or when somebody threatens me that they're going to unfollow because I offended them, see ya.
Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Thank you.
Don't let the door.
We're
going to move on.
Bye.
Someone said today.
Miss you so much.
It's so funny. Like, I'm very honest with my past drug abuse. So every episode, someone's going to be like, Sam's so gacked out on coke on this show. I'm like, I'm not. So, Sam, get some help. I really can't watch the show. Bye. Bye.
See
sorry. Dude, I'd say we're going to miss you, but we didn't even know you were there for the first 145 episodes.
Call your mom.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Get in a program yourself.
Bye-bye.
Go to therapy.
I don't mind criticism. Like, Sam, the mics are popping or whatever.
I love criticism. I accept criticism when you know it's coming from a place of actual critiquing and maybe some, you know, constructive a point to it.
For sure.
But when you're just projecting, bleh, see
just
ya.
Throwing up on people.
Yeah, like I did a feed to just like.
Do you do a Patreon, by the way?
I look, that's on my to-do list. Why? Do I need to?
Yeah.
You do it? What's your Patreon page?
I have two.
Tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat and Punch Drunk Sports.
Oh, yeah.
I can make a
couple
grand off that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, you can make enough. Dude, the internet is beautiful.
See, that's where it's beautiful. We're like, fuck the internet, but wait, it pays the rent.
Yeah.
Wait. Don't leave us. We love you.
Yeah.
We love you so much. We're so sorry for everything we said. Never fucking apologize, Sam Tripoli.
No, I don't, dude. I go
don't
hard
you
to
ever.
Play.
You're
I
one of my favorite. Play. One of my favorite nights has been. I didn't, you know, just dealing with what I've been dealing with, finding the energy and motivation to go out and get up is a lot. And I remember I was doing the dojo at the Sycamore Tavern a few weeks ago, might have been like a month ago. And my dad was still alive, still going through bullshit, like the hardest part of it. And actually, this was like 3 months ago, and the room wasn't cracked. Nobody was cracking them. There was probably like 15 people in the in the Sycamore Tavern upstairs in the little comedy room. And I think it was your show. You were running late.
Yeah.
It was a night that Jason Rouse was there.
Yes.
And no one could crack him. I went up and got him going. I was like the first to sort of like bring some
energy.
You're a
monster.
I brought some energy to
it. You're great.
But.
You're a cold blood. You can follow anybody.
But you came up.
I love it, dude.
Like, you woke the room up. And like, normally I like to pride myself on bringing that kind of energy, and I realized how low and out of it I was at night when
well,
you came out. I know, but still, it was just I needed that. I needed, you woke me up. I was like, oh shit, I gotta always be awake.
Yeah.
Like, even though I can allow myself the process I'm going through, seeing you come in made me realize, no, bitch, you can't sleep on this.
Yeah,
if you're
going
to do this, you have to do it.
It's so hard to be clowns when we're crying, when we're sad.
Oh.
My grandfather died. I had to do fucking improv. It's like really hard, man. It's a hard. We are clowns, man, and we're supposed to be happy, but it's like we
it takes a lot of energy.
Emotional.
Yeah.
And we got to go up and knock it out of the park.
Yep.
And
I think there's levels to it for sure. Like, I've seen all, and I'm sure you have as well. You see Chris Rock and Seinfeld and Chappelle all bomb.
Yeah.
You see them all bomb. There's no trick to it.
There's none.
And each person.
You get a couple minutes of maybe like, oh, you're a celebrity. And then it's just.
And then
like,
they're like, what?
What?
What next?
What?
I remember I saw Seinfeld one night eating it, working on new stuff. And not like. Eating it Seinfeld style. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, he's still doing well, but struggling for 40 minutes. And he goes, man, who do I have to be to get you guys to laugh? And somebody yelled out, the next comic.
Oh, my God. But let me tell you something, dude. I don't kiss a lot of people's ass. You're a man. Bill Burr, every comedian who wants to do comedy should have to go watch Bill Burr do new material.
Is it?
It's the most amazing thing because he bombs.
He does?
Bombs and he does. And it's the most awesome thing to watch because we've now got, like, the Comedy Store is such a fucking murder place.
It is.
That you just got to murder all the fucking
time.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I mean, and that's like, really?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's why the Ballet Room is there and I get it. But still, it's like. And there needs to be places like that to
well,
set,
that's
to
I
set the caliber.
Dojo do
yeah.
To do, but it's so. I mean, like if these other comedy clubs struggle to get people in when there's the
then
comedy
a non
store,
yeah.
The dojo is going to be even harder because
yep.
It's just me and my buddy Trevor. But watch him go up. It is a class in comedy to watch him not go fuck. I'm just going to do good shit to be like.
Sit in it.
I'm going to sit in this.
I'm going to sit in this new stuff, and I'm going to work my way through it. That's the only way you can. And that's why when people are like, people in my office tell me I'm funny, I should do stand-up. Go ahead. Be my fucking guest, because you've got years of pain. Years of pain and complete delusion.
You ever watch, like, radio DJs who, like, just crack their buddies up, and
yeah.
Then they go up and they do stand-up, and
yeah.
They just eat a
yeah.
Bag of dicks. You're like, welcome to feedback, dog. Welcome to instant fucking feedback.
Welcome to it. This is a lot harder than you thought.
See, for me, I walk out. You don't know who I am. That's a big problem. I think with comedy right now is so many people just play to their look.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sassy black chick.
Yep.
Fat guy.
They're type.
You know, and it's fine. I get it because it works.
They're
like,
costumes.
Like, well, dude, you know, it's like, oh, they're a great actor. Oh, they're I've taken so many acting classes in my life. I took so many acting. I saw one guy where I was like, that's an actor.
Yeah.
And that was Max Greenfield, who was on like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, I watched that guy.
I interviewed him once.
Yeah.
He's really talented.
The greatest actor I've ever seen live. And I've seen some fucking dudes you see on TV murdering it. And you're like, okay, you're good. This dude was the next level.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of these people at work, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but so much of it is like, you look like a stereotype.
Yeah, you fit.
I can just plug you in.
Yeah, you're right? The murderer. You're the murderer in every Law and Order episode.
You look like creepy white guy. You look like sassy black chick. You look like dickhead white guy who wants to yell nerd at all the nerds,
yeah,
right?
You're the bro.
Right, right? So it's like these fucking things. So when I, you know, you got somebody like Gabriel Iglesias who does not get enough respect for how good of a writer he is.
Yeah.
Like the dude can write.
Yeah.
But he's got a good look too. Big guy. And a, you know, it's instant. Yep. Like, oh, dude.
The fluffy.
Guy, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's great.
That's his thing.
I walk up. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on, dude.
They're like, who?
What is this?
The fuck?
So I have to start very, I do something called gator roll, dude. That's my style of comedy. Where I start, it's like gators. When they eat something, they
roll it.
And then they drag them down.
Yep.
So I got to start real easy. Real easy. And then I bring them and I get them deep and I drown them. So when I
do drown them.
So let me ask, does this happen to you? When I crush, and you're like, oh, dude, I'm killing, man. When you crush, and I get off stage, nobody wants to talk to me. No, I mean, I stand in the lobby, and people just walk right by me, and mentally, it fucks my skull. When I'm like, dude, this is not going well, a line around the door, like, it's 1920s, and I'm in a food
really
kitchen,
weird.
And they're trying to get a fucking loaf of bread. It's like around the block. They can't. Stop saying hi
That's
to me.
That's so weird.
It fucks.
Why do you think that is?
I mean,
maybe
they
because
laugh at dark shit, and they're like, "Fuck this."
Yeah,
guy.
Maybe they because of what you make them laugh at, you've made them realize something. They've had epiphanies about themselves, and they go home and make an appointment. You're probably keeping therapists in business.
And by the way, I hate bright comedy clubs.
What is it? Why is it so? Yo, I was just at the Laugh Boston.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Are you trying to cook my feature?
Yeah.
What is that, rotisserie up there?
Yeah."
This is not a buffet.
Rooms,
yeah, moody.
Room.
I keep it moody.
Yeah, I like it.
Bring
dark.
It low.
I be
make
like,
them have to focus.
I want
to
be like a 9 p.m. stripper.
Yeah.
Dude, just dark.
Rolling out
nobody
on stage.
Sees all these crow
crust.
Lines and just,
there's just crust on my behind my knee.
Because when everybody, when the light's so bright, they're like, oh, I want to laugh, but I don't want anyone to see me laugh. I get that all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no,
like,
you got to take it up off the audience. Make it dark. Make it moody. Like,
Laugh Factory is a wonderful club. It's too
so
bright.
Goddamn
and they
bright.
Like for a while there, they just had this influx of comedy store comics, and everyone's like, "Make it dark, make it dark." And they had it dark for a while, but for some reason, the lights. Have
we
gone.
Got. I got to turn it back down. Next time I go, I'm like, "Y'all, we need to turn this shit back
we
down."
We need this room dark.
We need it dark because we're about to talk about some dark stuff, so
yeah,
we need
dude.
It to match.
I got a joke about how I wrote a script about a gay hooker with Down syndrome who survived Nazi Germany. It's called Slow Stroke, and it's in 3D, right? And you do that in a bright room, everyone's like, I can't laugh at this, I can't laugh at that. You do it in the dark room, everybody goes crazy.
A gay hooker who what?
A gay hooker with Down syndrome who survives Nazi Germany. It stars Zac Efron and Tracy Morgan, and I act out the final scene. Let me suck your dick in this concentration crap. Tracy Morgan, you're crazy. And you see where it goes from there. And that bit is like 23 years old. That bit is like 22 years old, but I've never put it on anything.
You just put it on this.
Yeah, I just put it on this and on my special.
Which is, remind them, the name.
So Zero Fox. It's called Zero Fox. And that you just go to Vimeo, Vimeo.com, and just put in Zero Fox. That's out. And then next Friday, I don't know when this comes out, but December 6th, 14th drops Armageddon, which is the second half. And that's about 42 minutes. This one's 35 minutes.
And you can get it for under $5.
Yeah. You can
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
At Sam Tripoli, TRIPOLI.
Tinfoil pod.
Tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli. Punch drunk with Sam Tripoli. My Patreons are patreon.com/. Punch Drunk Sports and / Tinfoil Hat, and I put so much shit. I have this thing I call twerking in politics, right? Where I take twerk videos from Instagram and I put political messages over them. I give like I give like the news, and I'm thinking about putting them on there. But yeah, that's it.
You should. That would actually get a lot of people to know what's going on in the world.
I'm super happy that you're going to be on All Things Comedy. You deserve it. You are a powerhouse.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
I'm probably yelling at people.
And no, it's fine. Thanks for doing this, and I love you so much.
I love you too. You're the best.